Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Thy Kingdom Come, with the lesson titled, Why We Pray. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
So, Lord Jesus, we do ask and pray that you'll be with us today. We ask and pray, oh God, that the power of your Spirit would be upon our words, that our revelation would be from heaven, that hearts, oh God, would be touched, and the light of your kingdom would invade us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thy kingdom come is a, this is what Jesus, it was in his prayer, is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it was that prayer that Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come. We do not pretend here at this church to understand all that Jesus meant when he said that. We do not claim to understand, but there's a lot of things I don't understand, and but yet I still do. And at this church, we don't understand what it all encompasses as thy kingdom come. But we're going to ask for it just the same. And we're going to ask the Lord to bring definition to thy kingdom come. And it, with these prayer pods, it's a... Jesus also said that he wanted his house to be a house of prayer. And we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday nights and the elders, and we just felt led that this church in our ministry time, that we want to have a transition into the house of prayer. Because Jesus said, let it be a house of prayer. So we're just going to take him up on our childlike faith of and let him bring definition to a house of prayer. There again, we do not claim to understand what all Jesus meant when he said, and let it be a house of prayer. But we're going to offer it just the same. So don't think that we pretend to know what we're doing. We don't. But we do not pretend, but we are on purpose trying to be obedient to what we feel like God's saying. So as these prayer pods are... as we go into ministry time for the house of prayer, it will last as long as people stay. It'll last as long as people want to receive prayer. At the end of it, we'll call us into a house of prayer. We'll sing a worship song. And then you can, during that worship time, you can go ahead. And if you'd like to go to a prayer pod for prayer, you can go ahead. And just like I say, we will stay as long as is needed. In my experience of times of revival and of the Spirit moving, I told some of the elders that it seems like the power of the Spirit was greater at 11, 12, 1, 2, and 3 o'clock at night as it was at the service at 7. And I was just thankful to the Lord that we're having this in the middle of the day and not at night. And I don't mind. It's a little easier to stay during the day, isn't it, Pastor? But we want you to know that most of my experiences has been after the meeting, during the prayer of the power and the movement of the Spirit. Doesn't mean it has to be that way. It's just been my experience. We're asking ourselves with our limited understanding, should we ask for healing? Now, you know, I had a time in my life that I thought that was a little... pushy, a little arrogant, and I felt like at one time in my life that you needed to have more faith and ask for healing. You need to have more faith in that. Why do you have to ask God for everything? You just need to trust him, and whatever what hand he deals you is the one you got. But I was being pressed at one time in my life, and I'm going to use myself as an example. I'd like to qualify it by saying I do not like to use myself as an example. I always tell young pastors when I mentor them and things, I say that the worst thing you can do is use yourself as an example. But this morning I have found the Spirit wants me to use myself as an example. Please look over that part and listen well, because your chances of hearing again is pretty slim. But when I was in my 30s, I was pressed by the power of God, I think, that the Lord wanted to... I used to teach a lot in churches, my 30s, and I've told people I started 4 churches in 1 year. I split 2. And I'm not kidding. Thought I did a good job. Now I look back on it, and there again, you can see why I didn't want to use myself as an example, can't you? It ends up as a confession. You know, y'all going to have to say, Alan, you're forgiven before this is over with. And but it was over this thing of healing because I was feeling pressed that God was pressing upon me to pray for people to be healed. And I knew salvation was a healing. I was fine with that. And I was totally open to God to do anything he wanted to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was totally for that. I just didn't want to be the one that stood up here and said it. And the reason is, what if he didn't? I didn't want to be responsible for praying for people and then they not get healed. But the way the Lord answered me that one was, well, Alan, you don't know if everybody's going to get saved, but that don't stop you from giving the salvation message, does it? Usually God wins in conversation, but... So anyway, has anybody ever made a deal with God? I've made 2 deals in my life. God took me up both times, and I quit it. And one deal was, the first deal was, I used to love smoke. I'd smoke 3 packs a day, 4 if I was up long enough. And I was 19 years old, and I asked, there was something going on in my life, and I said, God, I'm going to make a deal with you. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. I said, God, when I wake up in the morning, if you'll make it like this has never happened, I'll quit smoking. And of course, now in all honesty, I poured out my heart. That meant more to me right then than anything I knew of. That sounds bad, I guess, but started when I was 16 and smoked till I was 19, and I could eat those things. And the next morning I got up and the situation wasn't about me, it's about another person. And I got up and there was probably 12 people involved, and nobody had no recollection of it. I mean, I'm really serious. Nobody even knew it. The day happened, just like I asked. I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, I did ask it, but I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really looking for it to happen. But it happened. And that's when I talked this morning on time, how God moves time around and all that, and that's when that started. But that day just didn't happen, and I found myself, oh no, I've got to quit smoking. I have really done the big one. Felt like Fred Sanford, I've done the big one, listen. And so I thought, well, it's okay. God did that, and God will help me quit smoking. I left that part out in my request. Didn't help me a bit. Hardest thing ever done in my life. Everybody says they're over it in a couple of months or something. It took me 2 years. And every now and then, I could still eat one. And God didn't help me a bit get over it. I had just a cold turkey work it out. But I did. And the next time, this is my second deal, I told God when he's talking to me about saying an offering that he would heal, I said, God, if you'll give me a front row seat to seeing somebody healed of cancer, I'll do it. In less than 6 months, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. So you can see why I quit it. My track record was with trading with God. I just didn't have enough sense to know what to ask for, I guess. But I did find out he was paying attention. Some of you heard my story. I'll not bore you with it. But I was diagnosed with lung cancer. They gave me 3 to 6 months to live. And a whole lot happened during that time. But God healed me. Son of a gun, he healed me. He gave me a front row seat to see somebody healed of cancer. And... Yeah. I think it's incredible, but even though I don't recommend my way I did it. But you'll find my relationship with God, I tend to speak for. Listen, And so in that course of that, about a year and a half after that, I was at a meeting and Jamie Buckingham was there. I did not know Jamie Buckingham at that time, and I was leaving, and we kind of almost ran into each other, but he was a little ways from me, and he hollered at me. He didn't know my name. He just said, "You," or something. And I looked, and he said, "Come here a minute," and I went over there. And he said, "I've got cancer." I think he died of kidney cancer, something. And he said, "I've been prayed for," and he said, "The Lord told me you've had cancer and he healed you." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "Well, he told me to tell you that it's going to return, but it's not going to kill you." Well, I don't know that I'm so glad I met Jamie Buckingham or not. At first, I thought it was kind of a good idea, but that was the prophecy to me. I thought, "Oh, my land, what do you do with that?" Well, in about a year and a half, I couldn't breathe again. My lung collapsed, and I thought there. Went in. They said, "Yeah, Alan, the doctor said for some reason you grow tumors." And I said, "Well, no, I don't." But he said, "Yeah, you do. You got tumors in there in your right lung again." So he said, "I'm going to take your lung out." I said, "Well, okay." But I thought, "Lord, I've already had a front row seat. I mean, I didn't ask for a rerun or nothing." But you know, it was amazing. When it happened to me the second time, I didn't have any fear. I just thought, "Well, let's get this over with." I knew I wasn't dying, because the prophecy was it's going to return on you, but you're not going to die. So I didn't go through any of the thought processes the second time as I did the first time. Now, I'll be honest with you, the only kind of negative thought I had the first time I was healed was, when somebody says you're going to die in 3 to 6 months, you tend to get prepared. How you do that, but I did. And you kind of try to, you know, your mind changes. Trust me, you're not making a lot of long range plans. You know, your whole thinking changes. And so in that process of changing, I had tumors. He said, "You grow tumors," had tumors again, all that. So he said that he was going to take my right lung out, but I did not have the fear or any of the thinking that I had the first time, because I knew the prophecy said that I would live. And I think it's a crazy process, but the reason I believe the second prophecy, because the first part of it was right. First part, well, yeah, it came back on me, and the second part is, well, okay, first part's right, second part's got to be right. So I didn't have any fear or anything, so I went in for Scythe. This was in Winston, and they took, you got three lobes on the right side. They took the two, my understanding is they took the top two lobes out or something like that. Anyway, they left me a little bit of lung down here, the bottom lobe, and so I thought, well, that's pretty neat. And they took it out, and so the doctor came in there after all that, I told him, I said, "Doc," said, "this surgery is pretty rough." And he said, "Yeah, thoracic surgery," he said, "is the most painful surgery you can have." And I said, "Well, you didn't tell me that up front." And he said, "Well, you didn't need to know then." He said, "I knew you'd find out soon enough." And so I said, "Well, is it malignant or benign or whatever?" He said, "Well, it's neither." And I said, "What do you mean it's neither?" He said, "That chemo you had killed the tumor. It was just a piece of charcoal. Looked like a piece of black charcoal," is what his words were. I said, "Well, Doc, I've never had chemo." He said, "Well, yeah, you have." I said, "No, I never had chemo. I never had chemotherapy. I never had radiation. I never had anything, because they gave me up to die. So I didn't have anything." And he said, "Well, that's interesting." I said, "I believe I got a Holy Ghost chemo." And I said, "Am I laying here in all this pain, and you mean I didn't have to have this lung took out?" And he said, "Well, it probably would have caused you trouble down the road." I thought, well, I had a lot of thinking on that one. But anyway, so they would check you about every 2-3 months. You'd go back in to the doctor, and they'd take more x-rays, and they'd do this. And I haven't ever told this part of the of my healing experience very many times because the first part's too hard to believe, but this one's kind of really out there. And so I went about the second or third year. They take my x-ray and they'd stick it up. Well, I'd have a full lung here and then I'd have a little piece of lung down at the bottom on the bottom lobe. And that went on for several years. And then they wanted me to come in for a final. So I went in for a final and I was sitting there and they stuck my x-ray up there. And I told the lady that did, I said, that's not my x-ray. And she said, yeah, it's your x-ray. I said, no, it's not. I said, I don't have a lung on the right side. I said, I got a little bit of your lung, little one lobe on the bottom. She said, oh, my goodness, are you serious? I said, yeah, I don't. So anyway, she called. It just so happened the x-ray technician was there. What do you call him? Whatever you call him, he was there. X-ray technician. And so they come in there, and they looked at it, and they said, I said, that's not my x-ray. I had part of my lung took out. And I remember I lifted up my shirt. I said, look at my back. I got my back's cut half in two. They take the lung out of your back. And he said, he went back over to it, and he said, now you got to understand, it looked like two perfect lungs. And he said, well, no, I heard about this happening before, but I've never seen it. And he said, your bottom lobe has inflated to the size of a full lung. I said, what? He said, you don't have but one lobe on your right side. And he said, somehow, he said, but the funny part is it looks just like a lung. It should have just inflated like a basketball, but it said it looks like a full lung. And so I'm standing before you with all these kind of miracles has happened. And it's amazing to me how the further away from a miracle you can get, it starts feeling like it was another person.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yes.
The further away you get from it, the more it feels like it happened to another person. The thing that I have that's stuck is in my spirit.
Yeah.
I know it's true. Now, that's kind of a long introduction, and my mama told me not to do that when she is living, but I've done it again. I am a person. That's the reason I'm going to speak just a little bit today on why do we ask for healing? Well, I gave you the reason I asked. I said, God, if you'll give me a front row seat, I'll stand in front of a bunch of people and say, I'll tell them you can do it. So here I am. I'm standing in front of you and I'm telling you, he can do it. Now, I don't even have any faith in my faith, but I got a lot of faith in him. So are y'all interested on why we should ask him? Now, the Bible shows us why we should ask for it. You see, shouldn't we ask for healing? The Bible says yes, but our head says no. Anybody had one of those? See, my head was saying no, but the Bible's saying yes. So I was really in a hard place because I could tell you, I've tried to purpose myself in forgetting some of the stuff that I knew, seeing it was pretty useless in the Bible. But the part that I know is the Bible says yes to healing. Listen, it never made sense to me. Everybody Jesus healed died. Right? So why get healed? You're going to die anyway. So there must be another reason for healing than getting healed. Are you with me? There's got to be another reason to get saved than just getting saved. See, everything in the spirit has another reason on why it happens. That's how you know it's spirit. So, Bible says yes, my head says no. We ask ourselves these things. I put some questions here. Have I really read the Bible correctly? Has anybody said that? Well, you know, I mean, come on, be honest with me. Some of you maybe were born charismatic. There's old Baptist preacher says charismatic. Maybe some of you was born charismatic. But all of us wasn't. I was born a Methodist, went to a Presbyterian, and my mama got me converted somehow or another. I guess I was too scared not to be, but she gave me the gospel. I wasn't sure about the healing thing, because you see people on TV and you see them doing this, that, and the other, and you're saying, well, I tell you what's true. I don't believe that's true. Sometimes he says, is there something wrong with my faith? I mean, I ask myself, well, maybe it's just something wrong with my faith, or maybe there's some super Christians and they have the power to get me healed. Well, last time I read the book, there ain't no man got no power. Only thing power we got is to sin. So we need to quit that, and then hopefully the power and presence of Christ can do anything he wants to do. We ask ourselves, am I not really, righteous enough to get my prayers answered? Did God do it then and not now? You know, what in the world? What is it that God's trying to do? Now, it says this in Luke, and this is my text for today. It's about the leper. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. Does anybody get a visual of that? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. The point here is, if Jesus does a healing, you can't keep it quiet. It just ain't no way. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and did what?
Prayed.
And did what?
Prayed.
Now, we've got to start catching on to something here. There's a correlation between prayer and healing. Now, Jesus did all the healing, but he had to go away and pray, like he's refueling or I don't know what he was doing. But I know that prayer is always tied to healing. Yes. Keep that in mind. Have you, the greatest words a human can hear is somebody says, I believe in you. That's the greatest words you can hear. Is I believe it just does something to you. You jump inside, you just kind of come to life. Somebody comes up and says, I believe in you. What if things in life don't go as you have planned? That anybody? Say, well, things hadn't really gone like I have planned. The most important thing you can do is remember that Jesus believes in you. Now, this is really important as we move forward. Jesus believes in you. You say, well, life's not going just like I planned. Well, let me give you news. Life isn't going for none of us just like we planned. I'm not even really sure why we planned, preacher. Because it's sure not going to go like we planned. Most people don't like change, but the only thing that stays the same is things always change. Jesus believes in us. Now, as we're moving, as we're thinking about this thing of healing, healing covers a lot of areas. It's psychological, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's physical. It's more than just physical healing. When you are in the middle of a battle, remember this, stand up and move forward, for the presence of Jesus will go before you. Now, when life's not going just like you would like for it to go, most of the time, people just want to lay down and die. Oh, it didn't go like I wanted it to. Listen, it didn't go like I wanted it to when I was given a diagnosis of cancer. I just didn't like that C word. I told a person about 3 months ago, I've never heard so many people with cancer in my life. Let me give you my experience the last 3 months. I've never seen so many people healed of cancer in my life.
Exactly.
That's the truth. It just dawned on me. Well, I ain't never seen this many people healed with cancer. A friend of mine, Jeff Rowland, his brother Joe, he had lung cancer, and it moved his brain and then his lymph nodes just all over him. And 2 weeks ago, he couldn't get off the couch. And 2 weeks ago, he started feeling a little better. He, of course, got his prayer and all that. And I don't know how much oil was poured on the poor fella. But nonetheless, they said they couldn't find it. Well, I mean, it's over a six-month period. So we're seeing more sickness and all this mess, but our experience is we're seeing more healing. And the presence of Jesus in chaos will calm the storm.
Yeah.
Now, the presence of Jesus is the factor here. When you're in the middle of a battle, don't cow down, don't lay down, don't say, poor, pitiful me. I think I got a slide on a pity party. I'll let you know when it's coming. If anybody needs to go to the bathroom right then, you're willing. You can go. Chaos, we are living in a time that chaos is probably going to be on the increase. As believers and as Christians, we got to understand, we need to consider that even though life's not going just like I planned, I need to stand up just the same, look it right straight in the face. Bring the presence, listen, the presence of Christ will precede you if you will stand up in His name. What does stand up mean? That means not feeling sorry for yourself. And as I said, you want everybody to pat you on the head. Come on, somebody, my patters give out. Your patters give out.
Yes.
And a pat doesn't last but as long as a pat lasts. Then you need another pat, right? How many times will your dog come up to you and you got to rub him on the head? Right?
Come on.
My point, I don't mind getting patted. The point is you're not standing up and the presence of Christ is not preceding you in your chaos.
Good word, Jesus.
Whether it's sickness or whatever it is. I'm just telling you that the enemy to you is self-pity. Now, Jesus believes in you, but the question is, do you believe in Jesus? Now, we're going somewhere with this healing thing. How much do I really believe in Jesus? Now, I believed in Jesus. And see, I believed in healing for somebody else. I just didn't believe in it for me. I believed in it for somebody. I said, okay, God, give me a front row seat. Why in the world I didn't say second row seat, I do not know. Bad choice of words. Front row seat. I believed that God would heal somebody else, but I now found myself in another place where I was the one that was needing to believe for me. You say, well, Alan, why is that a big deal? I'm going to tell you why it's a big deal. It's important that you believe in yourself. Most people don't. See, if you've been to the morning teachings, you've heard me say it. Most people live life out of the definition of who everybody else says you are. So therefore, I'm talking honestly, 75% of the people do not know who they are in Christ Jesus. You got to be an individual. When you were born into this world, you came by yourself. When you leave, you will leave by yourself. Right? It's an individualistic thing with you and Christ, the creator of the universe. So we have... When you have to believe for healing for yourself, all of a sudden the game just got upped. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And it's easy to pray and believe for somebody else, but it's not for yourself. And the reason is you have no, you don't think very much of yourself. And I'm not saying that we're selfish.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we're supposed to have an appreciation of who we are.
Yeah.
God created us and we have worth. Jesus believes in us.
Yeah.
He really does. He believes in us. And that's important to have faith in healing of emotions, of body. Or you got to understand, God wants to restore. He's in the business of restoring. Life is filled with challenge and change. I can't change that. It's just the way it is. Life, your life, my life is being built through challenge and change. Disease, sickness, emotional, all of these things that need healing, they're all, it comes through challenge and change. Life will test you. Amen?
Yeah.
Life will test the stew out of you. You know what I said? I mean, is your life going according to plan? Well, probably not. Why? Because it's a constant challenge, and it's changing, and it's not the way you wanted it to. It doesn't mean that you had a bad plan. It don't mean that. This means it's not going according to plan.
That's right.
Anybody experience this one? In life, we fail.
Yeah.
You're not going to get through life and not fail. The problem with when we fail in life, what you think of yourself tends to lower as we fail. You see, we got to have, God would have us to have a healthy appreciation of who He's created here. And this healthy appreciation of who God's created helps you in life. It's a healthy perception of yourself. It is what you do after you fail that determines where you are going. Failing's not the issue. We're all going to fail. It's just, it's what builds us. Failure builds the challenge of failure. Is what builds you to success. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Success has no value without failure. Creates the value system of heaven. Now, here we go. If anybody needs to be, go to the restroom, you can go now. Self-pity takes you nowhere. Now, the reason I'm hitting this before we do our little Bible study here on healing, we got to get our of who we are here just a little bit. Self-pity takes you nowhere. What is self-pity? Excessive self-absorption with unhappiness over one's own troubles. I can tell none of y'all have ever had that. I didn't get a single amen. Self-pity. Excessive self-absorbed unhappiness. Anybody ever had that one? Over one's own troubles. Ever had that one? Y'all want my next line? When you live in the flesh, you are always trying to survive. Self-pity takes place in the flesh. Poor, pitiful little me. Now, how do you know if it's self-pity? Because your troubles always center around you. But it's always somebody else's fault. Listen, I'm trying to get you healed here. Come on, work with me. Work with me just a little bit. Did you get it? When you live in the flesh, you are always trying to survive. You see, to be healed by God means, okay, God, I distrust you. So I ain't trying to survive. I'm trying to distrust you. I will go, God, wherever you take me. They told me I had 3 to 6 months to live. I had one prayer. This is the way it went. Oh, God, I will hang on to you wherever you go. If I go to hell, you're going to be there with me because I ain't letting you go. If I go to heaven, it's because you take me there because I'm not letting you go. I'm going everywhere you're going, Jesus. I'm going. But I am not letting you go. I don't know if you can appreciate that prayer or not, but I'm dead serious. I'm alive serious. That's the truth. That was my prayer. Jesus, everywhere you go, I'm going. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to let you go. Jesus, you might let me go, but I've got your ankle and I ain't letting go. That person told me, said, Alan, do you believe you can lose your salvation? I said, no, because I ain't letting go. That's right. And when you're in that situation, you won't let go. When you need prayer for healing in your finances, in your job, whatever it can. Here's what we need to start understanding. Prayer is what changes things. There's nothing too small for prayer. Prayer is our tool. It's the tool of the church. Why are we offering this prayer at the end of the service? It's because we're walking in this understanding. Prayer's a big deal. You might just have a toe hurting. It's okay. We pray for toes. I mean, if nothing else, you need to pray and we need to practice. We'll pray. When you live in the Spirit, you live in fulfillment. Look at the one above it. When you live in the flesh, you're always trying to survive. When you live in the Spirit, you live in fulfillment. Most people do not live a life that's fulfilled. You know why? They're always trying to live their life according to what somebody else says they're supposed to be. I had y'all remember Robin Williams? He was my favorite actor. He just really was. He was kind of out the top, of course. You know, he couldn't sit still. He kind of reminds me of you, Dustin. I wasn't the only one that thought that right then. I guess that's why I like you. But he was my favorite actor. And you know what? He said, I've heard the interview after he'd be on Johnny Carson. Anybody ever remember any of those interviews? Johnny Carson couldn't do a thing with him. And but he asked him there several times, said, why are you so spontaneous? Why are you like this or whatever? And he said, I just like to see people happy. Little serious moments, you know. And he also said, one of these days I'm going to play a serious actor. And he did, and he succeeded. You know, he had several movies. What was the name of them? Patch Adams, and what's that other one with that real smart kid? Goodwill Hunting. Yeah, Goodwill Hunting. But when he did those serious movies, he said, I just want to make people happy. And then that was all of his foolishness. And he said, I want people to feel more than that. I want you to go deeper. And every time I heard him do anything, he accomplished everything he went after. But he hung himself. You know why? He did not look after his happiness. See, now follow me here. His whole life, he was trying to live to make everybody happy. That's the reason he was such an extreme. But his own personal fulfillment, he didn't get. Point being, you can't live your life trying to make everybody happy. You got to know who you are. I'm serious about this thing. You got to know who you are. If you don't, you're living life at everybody else's beck and call of who you are. And you'll live life miserable. You will never find out who you are in Christ because everybody else's voices are pushing Christ's voice out. It's down in here. You know who You know, if you're sitting there and you're like, I'm just not who I am. I got to do this and got to do that. And I got, so you just stay so busy, just doing things, and you can't get it all done.
Yeah.
Right? I know this is some hard stuff, but it's the truth. I'm going for healing. You got to know who you are in Christ. Robin Williams, my favorite actor. He just didn't get fulfillment. When you live in the Spirit, you live in fulfillment. Fulfillment. I'm not going to say he didn't have some fulfillment in some things. The only thing I can tell you is he hung himself. Why? It is very, 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 very important that you don't live your life trying to please man.
Come on.
You find fulfillment in living in the Spirit with Christ.
That's good.
That's where you find it. And if you're one of those that's constantly telling everybody else who they are, you need to hush.
Come on.
You need to hush. That's too big a responsibility for you.
Wow.
That's right.
That's,
you wish you went to the bathroom, don't you? Fulfillment is accomplished between you and God. That's where it comes from. The man with leprosy moved towards Jesus for his fulfillment. Leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible represents a lot of things, which I don't dare have time. The man with leprosy, what you got to understand, he had to make a decision. I'm not after Jesus' healing as much as what I'm after is what was the leper thinking? He was thinking he didn't want to be a leper anymore. Or he wouldn't have moved towards Jesus. I'm after you connecting with his mind, his spirit. He wanted to be made whole. And he knew where to go to get it. You must leave your story of limitations. You see, the leopard was there. His story, your story, limits you. Well, I had a school teacher said I couldn't do this. Well, I had somebody told me I couldn't do this. I had somebody said I'm like this all the time. Well, I'm like this all the time. Listen, that creates your story, but your story limits you. The doctors have got a story. It don't have to be your story.
That's right.
You can say, well, I'm not worth nothing. That's your story. Walk into a Jesus' story with no limitations.
Come on.
You see, the leper had a story of leprosy. He couldn't get around to anybody. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. His story limited him. But he made a decision. That decision was he was going to walk into a Jesus story. When you walk into a Jesus story, there are no limitations.
Come on.
There are none. Now, I don't know how it's going to read. The only thing I can tell you, your story limits you. Your life has created a life story and it limits you. Can somebody hear me?
Yes.
But when you walk into Jesus, all limitations are off. It's off. It's a different story. It's a new day. The man with leprosy was thinking different and reached out to Jesus. He started thinking different. A person with hope of being changed will think different than a person with self-pity.
Come on,
somebody. A person with hope of being changed will think different than a person with self-pity. You got to think different. The guy with leprosy, he said, I'm going to think different. And he went towards Jesus. And when he went towards Jesus, he got his story turned into a Jesus story.
Come on.
So you got to hear me. Don't let your story limit you from receiving prayer. You got to move. The prayer pods are here just to have something that you can move towards Jesus. Say, well, Alan, I don't have to do that. Of course you don't. But you can. I don't know what happens if you don't, but I know what can happen if you do. Do you have mean people, or do people think mean? Do you have nice people? Can nice people think mean? Can mean people think nice? Yes. How you think determines who you are. I can feel that one. I knew it was in there for some reason, but I saw him again. I could figure it out. I feel fulfilled. Now, how you think determines how you move. You can't say that's a mean person, just have to say they're thinking mean. Well, when's the last time you thought mean? Then what you do's mean. Or do you have people that are in a mindset of being nice or being mean? Come on, here's what Scripture says about it, I think. Yeah, Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, we need our minds made new so we're not mean people. Because nice people, don't think you're a nice people. Nice people think mean things, and mean people can think nice things. It's not about, see, you can't say that's mean nice. It's all wrapped up in how you think. The leper changed his thinking. He moved towards Jesus. He could have had self-pity and sat there. You can too. You got to quit it. I'm not going to pat you on the head. I'm going to say quit it. Get over your self-pity and move towards Jesus. He'll change your story into His story. With no limitations whatsoever. Notice what Jesus told His followers to preach when they preached the kingdom of God. Here's what He said. Luke 9:2. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and do what? Now, I don't know why He put that in there, because He sure made it difficult for us. We don't mind preaching the kingdom of God, but we don't want to give way to heal the sick. And the reason is, I'm going to confess it, we're just not too sure it's going to happen. But we have to release. We got to think correctly.
Come on.
We got to think and understand our trust is in Jesus. But I also need you to think enough of yourself that you think you're worth healing.
Come on.
Did anybody hear that?
Yes.
Because most people don't think they're worth it. I deserve this. I deserve what I get. Well, what to God? None of us got what we deserve. Come on,
yeah,
somebody.
Good.
We don't nobody want what we deserve.
Right.
We want the mercies of God.
Yeah.
But you got to... Listen, we're in such a toxic world.
Right.
There's more people on Prozac and his Zach and their Zach because of they don't have any self-worth whatsoever. They don't like yourselves. Jesus believes in you. I'm trying to say more than I can say. I hope you're getting it.
Come on.
Jesus believes in you. Believe in yourself a little bit that He wants to heal you and touch you and change your story into His story. Here's something else He said, Luke 10. And into whatsoever city you enter and receive, you eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick and are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. There you go. Now you got to heal, then tell them about the kingdom. First time you give them the kingdom, then you got to pray for them to be healed. Now you got to pray for them to be healed, then you give them the kingdom. So we find ourselves as a church between a rock and a hard place of giving the kingdom, but we've got to pray for healing also. We should preach the gospel and pray for the sick and cast out demons.
Yes.
Matthew 10:7-8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. There you go. I do not know why God put this thing of praying for healing with the gospel of the kingdom. Only thing I can tell you is He did. And as leaders of this church, it scares the bejeebies out of us to follow through with it. Can you hear me? Now, we've got great faith, but it's not in ourselves. Mark says this, they went out and preached that people should repent. Now, I can do that one, right? They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. First time that ever happened to me, I was in Honduras, and I prayed for this particular demons. People couldn't sleep. And I prayed for that demon to come out. My land of living, why in the world I did that, I don't know why. Them boogers come out. I had people flopping and falling everywhere. I thought, oh my God, what have I done? Y'all think I'm kidding. I ain't kidding a little bit. It was 2 or 3 o'clock that next morning before I got all them fish killed. We prayed and we tugged and we pulled, took everything within me. Some of them got set free, some of them run out. And I didn't do that again the whole trip. But it did happen. It really happened. People got set free. It was amazing. Why? I'd run my mouth and took God up on what He said. I said all that to say this, we're going to pray for the sick and give the gospel. I guess I could have said it pretty quick. But that's what we're going to do here for a little bit. In this series or this season, it's called Thy Kingdom Come. We want you to know we're hard pressed because the preaching of the gospel kind of demands us doing the prayer pod thing. And we won't be obedient to it. Now listen, if you've got friends that are sick, if you've got, has anybody been healed lately in here, just of cancer? You have. Would you come, can I put you on a microphone? This is just totally spontaneous. Would you
come on,
tell this crowd?
Sure. 4 months ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It was in my breast, my lymph nodes, my sternum, my lungs, liver. Every vertebrae in my back was fractured, and there was cancer on and between every vertebrae in my ribs, my pelvis, and my right sternum. And I've had lots and lots of prayer, and now there are only a couple spots left. In just 4 months, no chemotherapy.
Jesus.
And I have a 3-year-old little girl and a 10-year-old son, and especially my 10-year-old has seen how much of a part that God has been in this, saving Amen. His mommy. So,
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you. Amen. I remember getting a report on her. It was terrible. Of course, the report on me was terrible. And there again, I can't say what God will do and what God won't do. I don't even pretend to. But I can tell you this, we want to be obedient to this book. We want this book, the Word of God, to determine who we are. Amen?
Yeah.
So if you got friends that are lost, if you have friends that are sick or family, bring them. Bring them. Stay after we shut this thing down because it's just beginning. We're going into a house. If you want people to get prayer, let it be known that bring them to New Life and we'll pray. We'll just stay as long as it takes. We're committed. Listen, it's not because we're so spiritual. It's because we're too scared. Can anybody hear that? We're scared not to believe God. We're scared that it's like the lady there just gave her testimony. What if we didn't pray? What would have happened? She got a 2-year-old and a 10-year-old child. They wouldn't have had a mama. I'm scared not to pray. Can anybody hear that? I got cow's milk this evening and all kinds of stuff, but I'm scared not to pray. So I'm going to stand right here. We're going to stand, if you would. I've got a few little words here from our intercessors. One's anxiety. If you're having panic attack, if it moves into panic attack, anxiety, emotionally, it's okay. There's prayer. It's been called out here today. You just go to one of these prayer pods. There, people are filling them now, up here, over here, back of the back. It could be your finances. You might want prayer for family, for somebody that's not here. You want to pray them in? Go to a prayer pod and say, I got so-and-so I don't think will come. Pray them in here. Pray them in. We believe in that. I hope I made a little bit of sense. I hope the Spirit of God spoke. So let's worship. Karen, lead us in this, if you would. And let's just stay in an attitude of worship. I'll release us here in about 2 or 3, 4 minutes. But I'll release us. Let's just pray and worship. If you're not sure about your salvation, I want you to go right over here to Rodney. If you're not sure about your salvation. If you went to bed tonight and you say, well, Alan, I'm not sure if I died tonight if I would be in heaven. We can get that answered. You just go right over here to Rodney. If you're online, Dustin, or is he back there? Dustin's in his spot. If you're online and you got a prayer request, you just text it in to Dustin there and he'll respond to you. Do y'all believe we're serious about this thing called prayer? We're trying to discover there's more to prayer than what we realize. Jesus healed and then he had to go away and pray. He said, let it be called a house of prayer. Any possible need you could have, we're asking to go for prayer to prayer pod. If you're full, just hang around and you can get prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this congregation here today. And Lord, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray it'll just fall to the ground. And if anything that I've said, if it's of you and your spirit, I pray that it'll pierce our hearts. It would become truth. It would change us in these seats. And we would go from here an empowered people in your spirit. Let it be so, O God. Let us leave here in power. And we pray, O God, those that are in here for prayer, those that will stay for prayer, pray for those that are online, that we will seek you and call for your kingdom to come. Let it explode in this place, everywhere online, that your kingdom might be seen in Jesus' name. And bless these people as we go. Amen. And amen.